Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
John Zadak, TV voice of the Cincinnati Reds, and you're up for Late Night Reds Talk.
Hey, what is going on? My name is Nick Kirby, and welcome to Late Night Reds Talk, the live show and podcast that loves the Cincinnati Reds, part of the Believe Network, presented as always by Bet Online. I'm joined tonight by my guy, Carlos Guevara. Our show is live streamed on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, and the podcast version is always up the next morning. If you're watching tonight on YouTube, take 2 seconds, hit that like button, subscribe to our channel. Really helps us out, helps us continue to grow the show. It's all we ever ask of you, so please do that. Before we jump into tonight's show, let's tell you about our partner, Bet Online. Basketball is back, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll find the latest odds, team matchup, info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use our promo code BELIEVE, that is B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. Bet Online is where the game starts. And Bet Online has been very kind to me with the Utah Jazz lately, continuing to cover the spread, helping me out. Carlos, what's going on, my man? Have you recovered from Bob Melvin saving Josh Hader for spring training?
I haven't thought about it in probably like 24 hours until you just mentioned it right now. But yeah, man, it was fun. It was a great ride. It really was. We were so close. Like I told you guys, I felt like this was their year, man. Like they caught so many breaks to be able to play the Phillies, but they caught the wrong bunch of guys at the wrong time.
I tell you, for the two series, could not have been any different. And I know the Padres and Phillies series only went 5 games, but it was a very fun, competitive 5 games, whereas the Yankees-Astros was about as least competitive as you could have in a series.
Yeah, those games were nuts. Both stadiums were rocking. San Diego was, but then, man, Philadelphia was on another level. They were so loud. And I mean, they just, whenever Philly had to have a big hit, they got it.
I gotta be honest. I'm kind of digging that whole dancing on my own song. It kind of bangs. I'm not going to lie. I think it's a good vibe. I think it's fun. Congrats to all the Phillies fans. You've had a great ride to Astros fans. Well, you've been here like 16 times. So, you know, your congratulations are overdue. All right. Well, let's jump in. Let's talk about this World Series here that's coming up. Astros, Phillies. Astros will be the home team in Game 1. Carlos, let's start with you. Don't give me your prediction yet because we got a slide with that. But just the general overall sense of this series, kind of what are you looking forward to? Maybe what are you kind of interested in?
I think I'm going to be really interested in Game 4 moving forward, because I think the Phillies will at least be able to get one of those first three. But that Game 4 is whenever Wheeler's going to come back and throw probably on short day's rest. And, you know, it's gotta be the move. I don't think they can go to anyone else right now. So that Game 4 is kind of what I'm looking forward to. But then, I mean, these offenses, I feel like it's going to be big hit after big hit. I don't think the pitching on the starter on the front end is going to be all that impactful. Like, I mean, I think Verlander and these guys will throw good, but I think they're going to give up 2-3 runs. I think both these offenses are just ready to explode, and both these ballparks kind of play for it.
Yeah, two really fun offenses, deep lineups with both teams. Our guy Branch Covenant, it's been 7 years since the last playoff game. Yeah, this is brutal for baseball, yeah. You know, and I mean, there's not really much they can do about it. I know, you know, TV's not going to let them just move the series up. Like, that's not realistic. They have the scheduled World Series days that are on, you know, so it's not going to happen, but it is brutal. I'll be honest. I haven't, you know, turned on the MLB Network since I think Sunday was at the last game. I haven't really turned it on much. You know, like, I'll be locked into the World Series, but, you know, I don't need 5 days of pregame shows for the Astros and Phillies.
Yeah, like, but that kind of reminds me that you said MLB Network. They do such a poor job of, like, hyping up games. Like, I remember I think it was last weekend, and it was, like, 2 hours before the game started. You know, we had two games in one day, not a whole lot going on, and like, there was nothing. There was no preview shows on MLB Network. Nobody was live talking about it. I'm like, how are you going to promote your game? Like, to who? What are you're just going to wait for the networks to do it for you? The other networks? Like, I mean, MLB Network should be, like, all over it, in my opinion. That kind of bugs me about them.
Yeah, I think on the weekends they don't do much. And, yeah, I agree. It's I think they have some definite opportunities. Looking at the series, you know, obviously, the Astros are heavy favorites, and for a reason. I think the Phillies, though, I think they can make this series competitive. You have to feel good about them being able to steal one of the two games in Houston with Nola and Wheeler going. I mean, those are two elite starting pitchers. Is this the series where I've been saying, you know, hey, I picked the Phillies to go to the NLCS. But my reason I didn't pick them any farther than that was I said their depth is going to be exposed at some point. And so far it hasn't. But a 7-game series with that Astros lineup that's just so deep, 1-8, 9 if they're not playing Maldonado. You know, the Phillies only have like 2 good relievers. They only have like 2.5 good starting pitchers. I mean, I don't know. Do you kind of feel like maybe this is a series where they kind of finally get exposed, or I don't know. Maybe do you think the Magic can kind of hang on here?
I think the first two games are going to help, you know, with that off day. I don't know if their depth's really going to hurt them until maybe like games like 4 and 5 possibly. But they're just like, not quite as good as the Astros in almost every single category. So it makes total sense what you're saying. Like, when's the luck going to run out? But we've seen it many of times. It doesn't run out once you're in the postseason. It keeps going and going. And I have faith that the Phillies are going to make a series out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe it's a benefit to them that they're actually starting on the road and they're, you know, 2 road games with their 2 best pitchers, and when their depth is maybe going to be challenged, they kind of have that home energy that's been so electric this postseason. So, I don't know, maybe it seems weird to, you know, not be the team with home field advantage, and maybe it's kind of could be an advantage to you, but I could kind of maybe see that in this series a little bit.
Yeah, those 3 games to have, I mean, if you steal 1 game in the first 2, you're sitting real nice. Those 3 games, I don't like it, but I guess if you're a fan of that team that's going to get it, if they steal one, then you probably do like it. But I kind of like the whole 2-2-2 and then going back and forth. But I don't know.
Yeah, I would love the NBA, but I don't want any more off days.
Like,
I don't need any more off days at this point. Before we go on to our picks, and then we got some celebrity picks that Carlos rounded up as well. A good comment from our pal, Matthew McAdoo, sorry if I butchered your name, buddy, who writes for a bunch of the papers out in mid-east Ohio. Thoughts on Joe Davis calling the game instead of Joe Buck? I'll let you start with this, Carlos.
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of Joe Buck, but once he's gone, you miss that voice and you like, you know, it all fits together with everything. And so, I mean, I miss it, I guess. It's definitely different, but I mean, Joe Davis is all right. I don't mind him too bad.
I don't want to be critical of Joe Davis because he's well prepared. He's a good announcer. Just doesn't seem like he has that big feel.
You
know, like Joe Buck, man, when for all of his flaws, and he has his flaws, but when he came on, like, okay, it's the World Series, Joe Buck's here. It's the only game he's called all year, but but he had that big feel, and I like Joe Davis, a really quality announcer, but I don't know. Hopefully, maybe he'll grow into it. And,
yeah,
you know, there probably was the exact same criticism from talk show radio host back in 96 or whenever Joe Buck started. It was probably the same thing. So we're probably just the old guard here now. Ew, yuck. All right, let's get into our picks here and our celebrity picks as well. Our good pals, Chris Welsh, Mo Egger, and C. Trent Rosecran also gave their predictions. Every single one of us took the Astros, except for our guy Mo, bucking the trend. He's got the Phillies in six. Carlos, tell us about your projection of in six. What made you go to the six game series?
Because I think that they're going to be able to get one of the two in. I think the Phillies are going to be able to get one of the two in Houston, and I think they'll get one in Philadelphia. Basically, is what it came down to. But that whenever the lefty throws, I think that's for Philadelphia. What's his name? I'm sorry,
Ranger Suarez.
Yeah, whenever he throws, I think that's a W for Houston. So it's kind of like. But I mean, my heart's with Philly. I want the Phillies to win for sure. But that's just if we're betting money.
I kind of liked him out of the bullpen. They used him out of the bullpen.
He
closed out the series. I'm curious if Philly will get super creative in this series, similar to maybe like the Nationals in 2019. Ranger Suarez kind of fits that Patrick Corbin mold where they just make him a reliever and he pitches like every day throughout the World Series. I'm interested if they go a little bit more creative. Maybe they only really use three starters, maybe Noah Syndergaard in game three, and then they're bringing guys back on short rest. I'm interested. That's why I'm going seven. I think the Phillies have got some real magic working here. I think it runs out, but I think they're going to push it all the way to the end. So that's why I went seven. I hope it goes seven. I hope we don't have a 4-5 game series. I hope this is a classic series. So, but
are me and you tied from the beginning of the playoffs in the win column?
I don't know. I think I'm probably ahead because I had the Phillies in the NLCS, but I had the Astros losing to the Dodgers. Did you have the Astros winning at all?
I think so.
So I would say I probably win if the Phillies win. You probably
I got
win
San Diego, Astros. And you had the Mets, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Whatever. Update coming up next episode.
Yeah. It was so jumbled now. It's like it's not even worth updating. Let's just see after the World Series, we'll do a final tally. Before we get on to MVPs, let's talk about rooting interests here. I know you had a comment on Twitter the other night. You can't root for Dusty. I think Dusty Baker was as responsible for anyone with what happened in 2012. I've been a critic of his forever. I don't know, man. I'm getting a little soft. I'm disappointed in myself.
Ever since you became a father.
I just like, you know, like I still blame him, but I'm not going to like be upset if he wins. I'm not necessarily going to be like Dusty, yeah, but I'm also not gonna be like, you know, I don't know. I'm done. I'm done holding a grudge. You still holding a grudge?
Let me write that down.
I'm done holding a grudge.
My tweet was more of like, I was in the mindset of, well, I got to pick someone. I'm definitely not picking the Astros because all the Astros friends or fans that I have that are friends down here, the majority of them are Astros fans. And 10 years ago, they were all Rangers fans. So it's not a big, like, you would think it'd be a baseball hotbed as far as like as good as it is down here in Texas. But like fan wise, there's really no loyalty to anyone. But yeah, I guess I was just kind of forced to choose and make somebody the villain, the two, because I really don't care. I know, you know, Joey has nothing but nice things to say about Dusty Baker and how, you know,
everyone wants him to win.
And
everyone has nothing but nice things to say about him, which is just, maybe that's kind of why I've softened. It's just like, everyone likes this guy. Like, it was, you know, a decade ago. I got to let it go. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. It was just, and Philly's just such a fun vibe to cheer for right now. The sixth seed winning it all.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. A whole different, like, conversation episode of just that alone. If they do win, what's that going to mean for baseball?
Yeah, Reds was 60 last year. you're short. All right, MVP odds. So we're doing this as odds. So obviously, I think we would both agree Bryce Harper. If we're just saying who's going to win, pull it out of a hat. You're picking Bryce Harper. No one on the planet's hitting like him. But we want some value here. We want to make the most money with our partner, Bet Online. Don't bet anywhere else. Go to Bet Online. Use the promo code 50% off. Believe, BLEAV. Carlos, who do you like here? Who do you think some good value? Who do you think is going to make you some money?
If I am, say, I have 3 bets to go off of here. Say 3 units. I'm going to use one of them on Jose Altuve at plus 1100 to get hot, get going, because he can shake off his previous playoff this year with no problem. Been here, done that. And then I like Nola and Wheeler, because if the Phillies are going to make a run out of it, those two guys are going to at least throw 2 quality games a piece with a possible, like, half a game 6 or 7.
Yeah, I definitely like Wheeler or Nola. Probably would go Nola just because he's pitching game 1. If he pitches 3, it's more likely he could pitch 3 times in the series than Wheeler. I don't know if maybe that's a factor with why they're going with Nola in game 1. Maybe they feel more comfortable with him pitching on short rest.
I think that might have something to
do with that. And Nola's higher odds, which is kind of wild to me that he's, or worse odds, considering he's the pitching first. Guy that I love at plus 2,000 is Gurriel. He has been hitting the ball really well in the postseason. Ex-WOBA, he's been crushing the ball. If you look back through the World Series MVP, since 2013 was the last time that a guy that I think most people would have thought could win it, one that was David Ortiz. Last year it was Jorge Soler. There's some wild dudes down here. Gurriel just kind of, he has that feel. He kind of hits behind all these guys. He could, you know, hit a couple 3-run home runs.
He's so underrated on that team. Didn't he won the batting title last year?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, he's like a, I think probably like a 120, 130 weighted runs created plus every year, just sitting back behind the big dogs. I like Gurriel a lot. And then, you know what? I don't think it'd be the worst idea in the world to put a couple bucks on Segura or McCormick. Both those guys have played pretty well in the postseason. They've had their moments. And like I said, look back through the last 10 years. There are plenty of Seguras and McCormick types that have won. And I like McCormick. McCormick has hit the ball pretty well in the postseason, too. Hey, now, he does hit 9th, though. So, but He only won like one grand slam and another home run, and I mean, you're right in the race.
Rhys Hoskins is tied with Bryce Harper with homers and RBIs in the playoffs.
Yeah, Hoskins isn't bad. I'll tell you the ones that I hate. I hate Real Muto. I think like that would be a really bad bet. Watch him win. He's been hit. He's been terrible in the postseason. And he's probably the only one I think has like the worst chance, the worst odds out of that. But yeah, Branch likes Segura, Altuve, and Nola. All right, so he's hedging with us. I like it. I like it, Branch. Nice. Any other thoughts on MVP talk, or have we exhausted that?
Yeah, that's enough of that.
All right, the news of the day around baseball. Milwaukee Brewers announced today that David Stearns, their GM, is stepping down as president of baseball operations. Matt Arnold, who was the VP, is now taking over. This feels very Dick Williams, Nick Kroll. It feels like they're on the timeline here. Any thoughts when you saw this today, Carlos?
I was pretty surprised, and I was kind of like thinking the same long as it was what you just said. I'm like, well, there's got to be a reason behind this because he had something pretty good going over there, but I don't know. Pretty shocking.
Still had a year left on his contract. There's some rumors that the Mets have been after him, and you know, the Brewers aren't letting him go, so he just stepped down. Maybe they're like going to work a trade. I mean, you're a heck of a GM if you're getting someone to trade something for you, to trade a player for you, right? I mean, that's you've done a good job. Yeah, he's been there since 2015. Obviously, he's been a huge part of their success. As a Reds fan here, I'm hoping this is the exact same situation like Dick Williams is in. He sees the writing on the wall. Hey, we're cutting payroll. We got a lot of dudes that are about to get significant arbitration raises. We're not going to be able to afford them all. We're probably going to be scaling back. It could be that. Could be the Mets. Could be nothing. Definitely kind of something interesting. And I'm fascinated with what the Brewers do this offseason. I don't think a lot of Reds fans realize the Reds have outspent them 9 of the last 10 years. Now, the only year they didn't was this last year. But I'm fascinated to see what they do because they've got a lot of guys that are getting like double salary next year in arbitration range, like Burns and Woodruff. So, yeah, kind of fascinating. What are you looking at with their offseason?
They need to, I don't know, find some new identity or something. They're just so...
They're in a weird spot, you know. Yeah. You can make a great case for them, you know. Obviously, owner decides to, hey, let's just go spend $200 million. Okay, great, do that, and then go support the team. Great, but let's live in the real world. Their payroll is going to be about the same. You can make a case that it's the right time for them to kind of power through, or the right time for them to scale back. I think they have a real case for either way.
Yeah, that makes sense. Golly, if they start scaling away, I mean, what are the Pirates or the Cardinals just like pencil them in for the playoffs for winning the division next year?
Well, the Cubs are expected to be aggressive.
Yeah,
they played pretty well at the end of the year. Now a lot of that was against the Reds and the Pirates, but. They did play really well at the end of the year. They've got some good things going for them. Shout out Joey, our boy Joey. It could be a very easy year for St. Louis. And of course, the Pirates will just take it over, and we'll not see it coming because that's how baseball works. All right, I don't want to go too far on this because this was like a week ago. Actually, like 9 days ago, we did weird shows, but we did, we're trying to do it around the playoffs. This was supposed to be the day there wasn't playoffs, but there was a whole week of it. Jesse Winker news. He's having some PR issues in Seattle. Ryan Divish, who is one of the reporters, pretty well respected from everything I've gathered, said the players are tired of Winker's acts. Didn't put in the work for defense, just expected to be able to show up and play. Carlos, what did you take from these comments?
I thought that immediately that Ryan Divish is a punk. That's to put it nicely. Like that's so terrible for him to leak that out. Anybody who spends time around a clubhouse all year long could drop this kind of stuff every week. Not like once a year, every week this stuff could come out. Like it's so terrible. Like this had to have been personal. This had to have come maybe from another player on the team who didn't like Winker. Like said, hey, leak this out. This is what's happened. It's such a bad look. I don't know, man. Winker obviously had a lot of stuff going on. I mean, they even talked about it. He was hurt the entire year, pretty much, and he's worried about his family. Like that's pretty freaking stressful. You know, imagine having to go to your everyday job that requires you to be, you know, physically at the top of your game day in and day out. You got all the stress that's going on and you're hurt. How do you think that you're going to perform? I mean, it's tough. He's in a new city. Things are changing. I know I'm making excuses for him, but you can't leak that kind of stuff, man. That's terrible. It's such a bad look. Like, and how is that going to help the team for next year?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't think this does anything positive for Ryan Divish's career at all.
Unless we were getting traded this offseason, then he got looks. I don't know.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to see. Be tough to keep him. I mean, I know that they you know Scott Service walked it back and whatnot, but yeah, they're.
I know it'd be okay to talk about, but like Joey has said, like you know, we kind of talked about this a little bit, and he says that Jesse Winker, like. Hits more than probably anybody that he's known besides like Griffey. He's like, he hits and he hits and he hits and he hits and he hits. Maybe that's not good for Haniger or the other players that are on the Mariners team, but that's the way that he goes about it. That's what got him there. He hits and he hits and he hits and he hits and he hits. So
yeah,
I for what it's worth.
I also don't understand why the Mariners played him so much in the field this year. Like, you know, he's not a good defender.
You called for that like 3 years ago.
Yeah. And I don't really. He played like 80 games in left field or something like that. I don't really understand that part of it. I feel like they could have, you know, protected his health too, not playing in the field. I don't think his injuries were in the field, but just, you know, less wear and tear and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I don't know what to make of it. I mean, you know, so you could have some of the same stuff and, Cincinnati and it doesn't get leaked because, you know, maybe the Cincinnati media is a little, you know, better, less gossipy. Some of it could be some of the same stuff is going on in Cincinnati, but hey, when you're an all-star, you know, it's a lot easier excuse. It's hard to really, you know exactly what, you know, went on and whatnot, but interesting to see where Jesse's career goes. And lastly, I don't really blame Mariners fans that were kind of disappointed. And I know a lot of Reds fans kind of dug at Mariners fans being disappointed in season. I mean, they did give up quite a bit for him. I don't think it was Winker's fault, but I don't blame them for being upset. Now, they got an absolute gift in Eduardo Suarez becoming a four-wood player. But I don't know. I think if roles were reversed, Reds fans would probably, you know, be a little disappointed too. So.
Yeah.
But all right, let's move on to something way more positive and exciting. Bronson Arroyo has been elected into the Reds Hall of Fame. Carlos, what is your thoughts on our guy Bronson getting inducted?
Cool. I don't have much on Bronson. I didn't.
Is it deserving?
Sure. I mean, I don't really know what requires to get in the Reds Hall of Fame if Marty Burnham got in it, but yeah, I mean, he pitched a lot here, and I know that the city loved him, still does. So, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I would say out of those five, I think you could probably say Harang's probably more deserving, but when you look at like kind of the way the Reds Hall of Fame has worked and who they've elected in, it's definitely more of a fan favorite type Hall of Fame than actually merit based. Not that Bronson Arroyo is not, because he was a good pitcher. I think Bronson Arroyo's 2012 year is criminally underappreciated. He was awful in 2011. Like, I think he led the world in home runs given up, had a really brutal year, and came back and had one of the best years of his career, and really kind of just, you know, helped anchor that really young pitching rotation into an elite pitching rotation. And he pitched a hell of a game in game two in that series as well. Would have liked to see him come back on 3 days rest in game five, but you know, that's another issue that we're not holding a grudge on at all. But congrats to Bronson. I'm excited. I'm excited for him. A cool dude. One of the easiest guys to root for that's played in the Reds in my lifetime. So congrats, Bronson.
Is that dude BP getting in? Is he up?
I'm sure he'll get, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I'm not the biggest Phillips fan, but I think he's deserving. He's a shoo-in. Yeah, I think you have to be 5 years out, and Phillips was still playing, I think, a year after Arroyo. So I think he might be next year. Remember Arroyo made his final year with the Reds? Whew. Yeah. All right, even more exciting news. Ellie De La Cruz continues to set the world on fire. Hit a 411-foot home run a night ago or two nights ago. I can't remember exactly what it was. But, yeah, Ellie De La Cruz tearing it up. You take any stock in kind of what he's been able to do in the Dominican League? Man, you know, this is a big deal to these guys down there.
Yeah, it's nice. This is like what they're playing against right now, I would say, is kind of like maybe double A ball, double ish. But once it gets to the playoffs and we start seeing more big leaguers and those guys throw, and we'll see what kind of success he has then, and then that'll maybe kind of throw the red flag up, or however you want to word it, get my interest in it.
Yeah, I'm going to say something, and I think people will know that I mean business when I say this. I've watched a lot of these games, and Ellie De La Cruz has a teammate that I happen to love named Aristides Aquino, and Ellie De La Cruz has looked like the big leaguer, and Aristides Aquino has looked like the guy in Double A. So take that for whatever it's worth. Ellie's been incredible. The thing I love is he has a pretty good plate discipline. You know, he does have 5 walks in 41 plate appearances. It's kind of hard to get their stats because they have some weird like symbols and stuff that I don't really understand, but did the best I could to parse that together. But
yeah,
man, he's gonna be tough to hold down next year. I don't think he's gonna make the opening day roster, but this is something we're gonna talk about. We're going to talk about like kind of maybe an over under and maybe put some money where our mouth is when we think he'll be called up. We'll save that for like maybe a full episode when there's absolutely nothing to talk about. But he's going to be hard to keep down. He's coming quick.
So. Yeah. I think I saw, was it maybe Monday night that we're playing or Sunday night? I don't know. I tuned in during halftime of some football game and I saw like two of Aquino's ABs, and he was still swinging at sliders in the left-handed batter's box. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know why you went, man. You're not doing yourself any favors to get kept on a roster.
I was like, okay, if he's going to go play, then like maybe he's going to have this totally different batting stance or try to do something, but nope. It's kind of, I guess, seems
same old,
what
same old.
Barry Larkin and Eric Davis are saying. He's stubborn.
Good question here from Carrick. If you had to bet the house on one Reds prospect being an at least average hitter, who would it be? I'm not going to go Ellie. I'm going to say Christian Encarnacion Strand. I think he's got less bust potential as a hitter. I think his mechanics are a little smoother. I think he's got a little less swing and miss, and he's put up the same numbers overall as Ellie De La Cruz did this year. So I would say he's probably safer. You have any thoughts on this?
I haven't seen really a whole lot of guys, but from, you know, what got called up this year and what's been up from last year, I would say maybe Spencer Steer. He's got a nice little approach and seems like maybe he could get enough doubles and walks to become a league average hitter.
Yeah, really good plate discipline. That's what stood out. I don't think that's a bad pick. I would still put in Crosby and Strand even ahead of Steer, but yeah, I don't think it's too far. Some more prospects. Let's look at the Arizona Fall League update here. Reese Hines has unfortunately come back down to earth since his hot start. 26 strikeouts and just 3 walks. Maybe the Reese Hines express train is going to start back at Double-A next year. But, you know, hey, still a lot of time, still young, and it was come back off an injury. Matt McLean is not hit for average, but does have a .355 on base percentage. Kind of, you know, you'd like to see a little bit more out of him. Matt McLean's probably the one prospect that is the closest to the big leagues just because of kind of where he is with, you know, playing college and whatnot. Noivy Marte hit a absolute moonshot a couple nights ago. He has come on lately. Really love this stat. 10 walks and 9 strikeouts in the fall league. And he faces some pretty good pitchers here. A lot of swing and miss type pitchers. So I think that's really, really encouraging to see him with that ratio. So did you see the home run from Marte, Carlos?
I did.
Man, he's electric, huh?
Yeah, that's some big league pop there. And like these numbers here, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like if they would have been hitting .432 and .484 and .417, we'd be like, cool. Like it just because they could be getting sent there just to do one specific thing. Like, and nobody knows about it, and it leads to a bunch of strikeouts or whatever. They're experimenting with it. Okay, this isn't going to work like we maybe thought. We're going to throw that out the window. So this is the longest that they've ever played in their professional career, in their careers, period. So whatever. It's cool that they're there. They get to experience a little bit higher quality of ball and stuff, but the stats, they don't mean anything. They really don't.
Yeah. I am with you on that. All right. Well, here's kind of what we got to look forward to. So taking a look at our offseason calendar, probably going to start to maybe see some movement. There's a lot of guys that the Reds have to transfer off the 60-day IL. It's 5 days after, or no, I think that one is 2 days after the World Series ends. And then the options, which doesn't really actually apply to the Reds, is 5 days after. So right after the World Series ends, that's when we really start seeing the offseason kind of kick into gear, start seeing some players get DFA'd, start seeing guys get non-tendered as we start getting closer to November 20th. So that's something we'll kind of break down a little bit more when we get a little closer, you know, who we think is a good choice for the Reds to keep, who's not, kind of as we get a little bit closer to that December 2nd non-tender deadline and the winter meeting. So what do you think about this this offseason, Carlos? Any thoughts?
Not yet. I'm wanting to see what happens, what goes down before I have any thoughts.
Just happy there's not a lockout. Man, that was the most depressing thing in the world. Even if the Reds aren't doing anything, it's exciting to see baseball have some relevancy all year long. And there was absolutely no relevancy when it was in the lockout. And actually, the only relevancy was all completely negative ugliness. So, yeah, I'm just...
Yeah, but once we got let out of the lockout, all hell broke loose in Cincinnati. We were like, take us back to the lockout, please.
What an off season, man. Nothing, and then... depressed Reds fans than the season. Whew. That was, that's something we'll rewrite books about in 10 years. Hopefully after the Reds win the World Series with Nuovi Marte and Ellie De La Cruz carrying the load. But we'll see. I'm excited for the offseason. I'm excited. I don't think the Reds are going to do much. I mean, I don't think they're going to do much. I don't think they're going to go out and sign a big free agent. But I think the Reds are going to have a lot of, I think the Reds are going to be looking at a lot of like interesting players. I think they're going to be looking at, you know, guys with, maybe, you know, high injury risk guys that maybe we'll try to bring in. And I think with a full offseason, maybe you can see, you know, the Reds able to attract a little bit more of that. I'm kind of hoping that, you know, some offensive players have seen like what happened with Brandon Drury and Tyler Naquin. Even Castellanos to a different extent, and maybe some guys that are looking to establish their value to start wanting to come to Cincinnati to establish that value a little bit. So we will see as we go on here.
Yeah, they could get lucky like that again. Oof.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to keep pulling these guys out. I mean, they seem to do pretty well with that aspect of it. So that'll be kind of interesting. Who's the?
I just have one wish: is for them to bring Johnny Cueto back. Like fans would kind of forgive a little bit. Just bring Johnny back. It would be really good for the team. Really good for the fans.
Yeah.
Come on, yeah. Come on, Bobby.
Any parting thoughts, Carlos, this evening?
No, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. Just make it a fun World Series. Go 6 or 7. Go Phillies.
Yeah, so we will be back on Thursday next week. Specifically, I wanted to do it on an off day. If somehow there is a rainout, maybe we'll adjust the schedule. But we, you know, we want to watch the World Series. No offense. So we will be doing it on Thursday, and then you see the rest of the schedule there. If you are watching, thanks as always for tuning in to Late Night Reds Talk Live. We really do appreciate all of your support. We'll continue to be here all off season long, tracking all of the news and moves or non moves as we see the Reds. At least we don't think they're going to be trading anyone big, so I don't think they really have anyone left to trade. So maybe not put it past them. But as always, we are presented by Bet Online. Head on over, place your MVP bet for the World Series, and get 50% off of your welcome bonus with our promo code BELIEVE. That is BLEAV. Our guy Tim should be back, I think, next week. Tim is off living his absolute best life in Disney. So we wish him the best time. For Carlos, I'm Nick. Have a great night. Go Reds.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.